You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. That was
Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.
Hang on a moment. We should still be in Audio Culture. Simon Gregg, are you there?
I am indeed.
Sorry, I double tapped. But okay. We're here right now. Simon Gregg, all the way from Thailand. How's it going?
Yeah, pretty good, thank you.
Also, a big happy birthday to you, sir.
Oh, thank you.
What are you going to do spending your day in Thailand on your birthday? What do you do?
Well, my wonderful wife gave me a brand new amplifier for my birthday.
Yes.
So, like an audio amplifier for the stereo. So I'm going to settle that sort of stuff up,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm going to go out for dinner, basically. Apart from that, just wander around.
Are records affordable in Thailand?
Yeah, there's like probably about 30 or 40 record shops across the city.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favourite?
Yeah, but it's in Thai. The name is in Thai, so. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it.
Yes.
But it's like an old villa in a big piece of land, and right in the middle is a house, and it's full of vinyl.
Mm-hmm. Nicely curated collection by the sounds.
Lots of Japanese secondhand stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They bring in container loads, like Real Groovy does, bring in, you know, container loads of American.
Yes.
We get the Japanese stuff.
Oh, nice one. Hey, now, Simon Gregg, we're of course in the middle of Audio Culture, thanks to audioculture.co.nz. Basically the best resource for information and the history of New Zealand music that's available online. This evening we're talking about a recent article, one of your recent articles, on the Body Electric.
Yes, Wellington Band.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, no, I'll let you take the lead on this particular piece that you've just recently written. Where are we going to start?
Well, let's just start where they started, I suppose. Body Electric were around from 1982, I think, through to 1985. And they grew out of the Wellington post-punk scene. I mean, people may know the terrace scene, which is kind of legendary in Wellington for a couple of years. A lot of interesting bands came out of it. And one of the bands was a band called The Steroids. And they'd started off as Johnny Mono and The Steroids in the late 70s. And The Steroids were post-punk. But they kind of got frustrated with the limitations of guitar-based drums. And they'd made a couple of singles. They made three singles, I think. And then one day, Alan Jensen, who was the guitarist in the band and one of the songwriters, he was talking to a mate of his, a guy called Marcus, who imported gear, and he said, "I've got this new device here, and it's a drum machine, and it's a tiny little box, and you hit the play, and it gives you a beat." And up until then, we didn't have this sort of stuff in New Zealand. Now we have all this sort of technology. Everybody knows there's so much stuff made with sampling technology. But back then, nothing was really available. And what was available was very rudimentary. And this was kind of rudimentary too, but it was a bit more advanced. So Alan hit play and it went boom, boom, boom. And he thought, let's see what else is out there. So he started hunting around trying to find other stuff. And they found other bits and pieces that they were sold by this guy Marcus, or lent by this guy Marcus, including early Roland stuff. The Roland, I think, was the 808. And they decided that they wanted to make electronic music. So Alan and another member of the band, Andy Craig, hooked up with another guy, Gary Smith, and they renamed themselves as the, I think it was the Sands of Mars for the first gig. And after that, they became the Body Electric. And they kind of figured out if you started playing a drum machine like that, people danced. So
New Order records started to land on the shores of Aotearoa by this stage?
No, well, New Order in the process of becoming New Order, and the early New Order records weren't quite like that. You know, they evolved as well. So when the end of 1980, I think, was when Alan decided he wanted to move on from the original Steroid sound, or maybe early 1981. So up to that stage, we had a few things that had come through. We had some of the early Mute stuff, the Normal, but there was very, very little. And in closeted New Zealand at the time, things weren't released. You know, the record companies had a big, a really strong grip on what was released. So interesting, quirky stuff like that often didn't make it through. And it was hard to hear that stuff. Early Human League had started to come through. It was the beginnings of that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan and Gary in particular decided they wanted to go off and make this new music. So
would you say that were the people of New Zealand ready to dance to an electronic beat at this point in time?
Well, it depends where you were in the country. Wellington apparently took to it quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And the first gig they played was in a place in Courtenay Place, and the Steroids were quite a big live band. So the band that was headlining was a band called the Digits, and they put Body Electric, or Sands of Mars as they were at the time, ex-Steroids. So hundreds of people turned up expecting to see the Steroids, but of course they weren't the Steroids, and they were something quite different.
Mm-hmm.
And people kind of liked it. So in Wellington they started pulling crowds. As they left Wellington, it wasn't quite as sort of welcoming. And they came to Auckland, I think, when was it? Early 1983 for the first time. And they played a place in Auckland called A Certain Bar. And they got a decent crowd. But some of the people there weren't that pleased with what they were hearing. And in fact, one of a fairly legendary character, Barry Jenkins, this Dr. Rock from Radio the Pictures, went behind the stage and pulled the plug out and yelled out, "You're destroying my job."
Oh, man.
It turned into a little bit of a fracas.
Yes.
But yeah, slowly New Zealanders got used to that sort of stuff. And you can look in the charts around that period too, and you can see a lot of that stuff like Human League and Heaven 17 and those sort of bands starting to sneak into our charts. We kind of adopted it quite quickly.
Okay. It's good to know. Now, shall we jump into a Body Electric track, Simon Grigg from Audio Culture?
Well, we're going to play Pulsing, aren't we?
Yes, I've got it here.
Pulsing, there's a little bit of a history here. I'll just go through the history of Pulsing. Mm-hmm. So when they first started off, they decided they were going to make a record. And there was 1ZM in Wellington, the radio station in Wellington, used to have a Band of the Week thing. And the winner of the Band of the Week got to go into the studio and record a song, which was played on the radio. So they went into the studio in Wellington, Radio New Zealand Studios in Wellington, and to record the song, just to be played on the radio. And the guy in there, the engineer, said, "Well, do you want to record some more songs for an EP?" So they paid him another $500 and recorded an EP. And the result was Pulsing, which you're about to hear, which is kind of a piss take. It was a little bit of a novelty record. They were taking the piss out of the whole electronic thing that was coming up. And, you know, electrodes, and all this sort of stuff. But it sat in the New Zealand charts for 9 months, and it was a longer time in New Zealand charts for any New Zealand record throughout the 1980s. Like, no other New Zealand record sat in the chart that long.
9 months is so crazy. Wow.
9 months in the top 40, yeah.
All right. Hey, shall we hear it? Pulsing, yep. By The Body Electric.
Radio, watch it on your video, dance it at your disco. I'll see.
Pulsing by The Body Electric. Text piling on through to 5395. Of course, we've got Simon Gregg on the line. It's his birthday. He's over in Thailand. So happy birthday to you, Simon Gregg.
Thank you very much.
Apparently, this is great, exclamation mark. The man himself, exclamation mark. Thank you, BFM. happy birthday, Simon Gregg. But hey, we're digging into your article up on Audio Culture about The Body Electric, and that's kind of a bit of a sweet spot here in the history of Music in Aotearoa, where we start digging into the more electro side of things. Where are we going with this little chat about the Body Electric, Simon?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Body Electric were they had a very short lifespan, but they kind of wanted to have a longer lifespan, but things intervene, which we'll come to. But they recorded an album after this. The album is called Presentation and Reality, and it was recorded at Marmalade Studios in Wellington. They weren't very happy with it. It went out, and they were it did pretty well. It charted for a few weeks. But the band themselves were pretty upset about the sound of the record, and the version that was released wasn't the final version they were happy with, or they were happier with, and there was a little bit of a dispute with them and the record company releasing the wrong version. So they decided to move to Auckland and record a second album at Mandrill, and at Harlequin, what am I saying? They moved up to Auckland and they bought themselves a Fairlight. And it was the first Fairlight in the country. And people may know what a Fairlight is. It's like it was one of the first big sampling computers and allowing you to make digital music. And they spent a lot of money on it, and they made their money back by hiring it out to other people, and it covered the cost of that. But they was touring all the way through and playing a lot around the country and getting really, really big crowds. I mean, Palsing was a huge draw card, of course. And they had an accident. Alan Jansen had an accident. He was driving back to Wellington to sell his car, and going down the western side of Lake Taupo, a dog ran out in front of the car and he crashed and almost died. And he lay there on the side of the road. He was conscious but only semi-conscious, and he lay there on the side of the road, and someone picked him up and they took him to hospital, and he was in hospital for weeks, months I think. And decided he didn't want to play live anymore. He just wanted to make electronic music. He wanted to make a studio, which was going to make music which would last forever, rather than going onto a stage and playing something that would only last for an hour or so. So so they break up the band. And they break up the band at the same time that they just had an offer from a management company in LA to move across there, but they declined that offer in the end. And Alan went on to become Alan Jansen, who made How Bizarre and In the Neighborhood and a whole lot of other records over the years. But the record itself, the album that was released in 1983-84, Presentation and Reality, went on to have a second life around the world, or second and a third life around the world. It became an incredible cult record all over the planet. And because I've kind of looked after Alan as a publisher and semi-managerial for 30 years now, I'm the guy who's always got the emails.
Sorry to butt in, but on this note, we had a few texts come through saying, didn't the Mighty Boosh do a cover of this?
Well, they may have done, yeah. Mm. I mean, you mentioned that, and I've just done a little bit of a Google while you were doing that, and I can't find it. But there is a Mighty Boosh reference to, where is it? Pulse Kitchen. So that might be it. I'm not going to click the play on YouTube because it'll come screaming through my microphone here. But I would imagine that's probably it. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing when stuff, like you say, does get a second life and just kind of stretches out into these amazing places across the world. I mean, Simon, we may have talked about this last time I spoke, but many years ago I did some travel and ended up in the Midwest in America, and one of the people I was spending some time with had an OMC How Bizarre single and in their possession. It's crazy when you think about how music travels like that.
Well, How Bizarre has like multiple lives. It was released in 1995 in New Zealand. 1997 it broke around the world, and then it just keeps on going. It's all over TikTok.
Yes.
5.9 billion plays on TikTok or something like that. Something huge.
Wow.
It's massive. And it's been, last year it was played at the Super Bowl in the States. It just carries on and on and on. But anyway, back to where we're, you know, to the Body Electric. Yeah, it started to get this incredible life, and it got bootlegged. In the late 1980s, a bootleg turned up in Europe off the album, and then in Russia. There's been at least two bootlegs in Russia so far. There was a bootleg of the original album, and then a bootleg about 2 months ago of the remastered album. So as the record went around the world, the record companies, indie record labels around the world, were contacting us and saying, can we reissue the album? And Alan's attitude, Alan and Gary's attitude, basically has always been that we weren't happy with the album as it came out. We're not going to release it until we can have a go at remixing or remastering it. So we had an offer from a label in San Francisco before COVID called Dark Entries, quite a famous record label who does a lot of electronic stuff. And they were going to do it, but they wanted to do the original. And Alan was saying, no, I want to have a go at fixing it. So it kind of fell over, and then COVID, of course, got in the way and stuff. So we decided to do it ourselves. And the problem was the master tapes have gone missing over the years, along with so many New Zealand master tapes. So it was, we found an absolutely mint copy of the original vinyl releases, or mint copies of the vinyl releases, and put it into Alan's current version of the Fairlight, which is Fairlight version 5 or something like that, and pulled it to pieces, and it was basically remade from scratch. And yeah, we reissued it via Flying Nun on Propeller, which is my label, via Flying Nun, I think a year ago, for Record Store Day.
And you shifted managed to shift a few copies?
It went crazy, yeah. Mm. What happened was it entered at number one on the New Zealand chart.
Yes.
And it was also the highest, entered number, I think number 8 or 9 on the New Zealand album, on the full chart. But it was number one in terms of physical quantities in the country. If you take digital out of the picture, it was number one.
Amazing.
So that was kind of cool. We were quite pleased about that.
Excellent. And then now, should we play one more song from The Body Electric? You've chosen a tune called 12-1721. Tell us about the song, Simon Gregg.
Dash 1721.
1721.
This is the B-side. This is, earlier on I mentioned that they recorded some more tracks for an EP at Radio New Zealand in 1982. And this is one of the tracks that's on the B-side of that. And it's just become like an underground cult track around the world. It's been on God knows how many compilations in Europe and Japan and all sorts of stuff. And there's a Greek one coming out any day now, which has got this track on it. Became a club hit in Berlin. So I was actually like, you know, DJs were playing this track up until recently. They probably still are, I don't know. But yeah, it had this life. So I was getting these emails from people saying, I love this track, where can I find it? That was one of the reasons why we reissued the album, and we added a bonus 12-inch of the pulsing 12-inch plus, including this track.
Excellent. Simon Gregg from Audio Culture, thank you very much for chatting to us this evening. If anyone is keen to find out more, you can head along to audioculture.co.nz. You can just chuck in The Body Electric in the search bar and your article will pop up. Was published a while ago but updated very recently. Simon, thank you very much, and have a happy birthday over there in Thailand.
Yeah, thank you very much, and always a pleasure.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, mate. Here we go.
Speak soon. Bye.
the number, don't feel bad. Microseconds, all you need. Activate and you receive personal replies flashing in from the night sky. Don't ask why or cry, I'll bring you love tonight. Dial 1435-1721. Please listen for the voice from behind the sun. 10 million messages to relieve those pressures. Sympathize and tranquilize. Let me in your life tonight. Messages, messages of love. On a laser beam, bright white, transglobal flight, bouncing off a satellite, arriving in your home tonight. Are you lonely? Are you sad? You've got the number, don't feel bad. Microseconds, all you need. Activate and you receive personal replies flashing in from the night. Why or cry, I'll bring you love tonight. Sending messages, messages of love. Sending messages.